The Bereans received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Acts 17:11.
I'll be reading Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
And I will be reading verse 4 through 6. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, quote, and was not found because God had taken him, end quote. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
The sinners will now sing.
Thank you. I should have been the one to beg, but instead you took my place. Amazing grace. It's more than just a song, even though I don't deserve your love.
The sermon.
Almost 400 years ago, a group of people came to this country from England on a ship called the Mayflower. We call them the Pilgrims.
The story of the Pilgrims is a story of the search for freedom.
The people who sailed on the Mayflower all belonged to the same Christian church in England. Because of their beliefs, which did not agree with the official Church of England, they were considered outlaws.
The law said they had to attend the Church of England, even if they didn't agree with its beliefs.
So they worshiped secretly in barns and other out-of-the-way places.
This sounded like treason in a country where the king was also the head of the church. If these people picked their own pastors, soon they would want to pick their kings too. Instead of destroying them, persecution made them stronger.
They declared that while they would be loyal to the king in all matters civil, their devotion to God could not be stopped.
Eventually, this group of Christians moved to Holland to get away from the persecution.
The people of Holland allowed them to worship any way they chose, but there were other problems. Their children were learning to speak Dutch and were forgetting English. The men couldn't find good jobs.
What should they do? They didn't want to go back to England, but moving to another country in Europe would only lead to more of their members forgetting their English heritage and their beliefs.
Then someone suggested going to the New World, to America, where they could raise the children as English-speaking subjects of the crown, but they wouldn't be forced to attend the state church.
It was a bold and dangerous move.
The congregation set aside a day for fasting and prayer. Then the whole group voted. The majority chose to move permanently to America.
A brave new world.
A brand new start.
A fresh beginning where anything was possible.
The Bible also speaks of a brave new world. It tells of an earlier beginning.
The story of this original brave new world is the great story behind all stories. the place where every person comes from.
The Mayflower Pilgrims brought this story of beginnings to America and the Bible they carried with them.
Tonight, we will look at this story again to make sure we remember it clearly.
It was a firm faith in this story of beginnings that provided the foundation for the Pilgrims' society.
We will go to the theater of the universe and see the story unfold.
So sit back, close your eyes, and imagine you're sitting in a large IMAX theater. The curtain is closed and the play is about to begin.
Suddenly, from the right of the stage, a man steps out and walks to the center. He is dressed in a long robe with sandals. He grips a stout walking stick nearly as tall as himself in one hand. Under his other arm, he carries a sheepskin scroll written in Hebrew. He looks at us, clears his voice, and begins to speak.
"I am Moses," he says. "You who are here will see the story as it is written on my scroll. Listen carefully because I didn't make this up. This story is true. It answers the first riddle of existence.
How did everything begin? Where did I come from? Am I here by accident? Or is there a reason for my existence?"
Once you have listened and seen, you must decide whether you will believe it or not.
The figure on the stage lays down his rod at his feet, unrolls the scroll, and begins to read. Translating into our own language so we can understand his words, he says,
"In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." Genesis 1:1.
Then Moses rolls the scroll up, bends to pick up his staff, and exits the stage the way he came. We wonder what are we about to see when the lights are dimmed, the curtain opens, and the drama begins.
When did these things happen?
In the beginning.
There was a beginning for our world, but a story needs more than a beginning. It needs a focus.
Who is the main character?
In the beginning, God.
God is the center point for all that exists. There is a main character in the drama, here at the Theater of the Universe, and it is God. But any story must have a plot. Something must happen.
What action occurred?
In the beginning, God created.
What did this God, who was in the beginning, do? He created. The Creator created.
We have our main character and the basic plot. Now we need a setting. Where did this creation take place?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The Creator God the Bible presents is not a little God, a maker of only the sky or the sun or the moon. The God of the Mayflower Pilgrim's story is the creator of everything in the heavens and on the earth.
The opening credits are over and the screen goes blank. Act one of Genesis, the story of beginnings, has begun. It is titled The Creation Countdown.
We peer into darkness with its hint of light barely visible in the distance. Dimly before us, we can see planet Earth hanging in the inky blackness of deep space.
It is a water planet, empty with no life. Darkness covers the face of the deep.
Over that darkness, a vast presence is felt. Suddenly, a voice speaks.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Genesis 1:3-4.
The stage light has come on, but only on the right side. We can see half of the earth now. There is still no sun, moon, or stars, only the separation between darkness and light.
The Maker gave these things name. He called them day and night. In giving them names, their Maker filled with them meaning. The night and day combine to create one full cycle, the first day.
The earth spins slowly on its axis. The stage goes dark. The first day is over. The second is about to begin.
And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the water to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day.
We look closely. A new division occurs.
Sky separates the water in liquid form that covers the earth, the face of the planet. Below, from the vapor that surrounds the planet, clouds and mist appear.
The stage goes dark again. Day three is about to begin.
And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered water he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
As we watch, there is a commotion over the planet's entire surface.
Land surges up from the blue depths, while foaming streams, rivers, and waterfalls thunder down into the deep places between.
But day three isn't finished yet. This world is still lifeless. The Creator's new earth needs a gown of green.
Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruits with seeds in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
God speaks, and land turns green.
The vast forest of maples, cedar, oak, dogwoods, and birch emerge.
On the hillsides, mountain slopes, and meadows, we smell the perfume of wild flowers.
In the lowland around the borders of the water, there are cattails, rice paddies, and water lilies.
There is fruit everywhere, pineapples, peaches, pears, and persimmons.
There are golden pumpkin, rustly tasseled corn, clinging vines of grapes.
The stage in our theater of the universe goes dark again, as day three ends.
Let's pause at this point for an intermission. We'll take a moment to consider a question.
How long were the days of creation? Were they regular 24-hour days, or were they longer periods of time? Maybe 1,000 or more years each.
Are we being shown the beginning of all things in actual time, or is it some sort of time-lapse photography?
Can God speak and things spring into existence? Were the evenings and mornings of creation like all the evenings and mornings since?
Or is it the creation countdown, time different than what we experience it now? Does it really matter either way?
What does the Bible say?
William Bradford, who was a governor of the Plymouth Colony for nearly 30 years, was a Bible reader. The Pilgrims governor was as likely to discuss the true meaning of passage of scripture as he was to consider the business of roofing the common house or of harvesting the crops.
As Bradford grew older, he learned to study the Bible in the Hebrew language. Bradford once said, "He wished to see with his own eyes the ancient oracles, words of God, in their native beauty." That's why he learned to read it in Hebrew.
What would Governor Bradford say after reading the book of Genesis as Moses first wrote it?
How long did Moses say God took to create our world?
Hebrew scholars who read these words all agree on their meaning. Moses uses exactly the same words in this passage that he used everywhere in his writing for an ordinary 24-hour days.
Once the clock of time began ticking that first day of creation, it set the pace for all the other days that have followed. This picture we've been watching in the great theater of the universe is in real time.
If the creation story is true, the most incredible miracles are indeed possible, even in our own lives. The universe was modeled by a creator, God, who can do anything he chooses. He can make a whole world simply by speaking. With a God like that, nothing is impossible.
That is truly a brave new world.
What kind of God are you willing to serve?
How big is your God?
Each of us will leave the theater of the universe with some God this evening.
Which God will it be for you? The choice is your own.
Intermission is over. The lights dim in the theater of the universe. Windows into the past opens before your eyes again. Day four of the creation countdown continues.
And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so.
God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
Planet Earth now is set within its own solar system, with its own moon, stars, and accompanying planets and their moons.
Think about the stars and all we can learn from them.
The night sky is a compass if you know where to find the North Star.
It is an odometer in the sky. If you know how far above the horizon a particular star must be, you can figure out the distance from one island chain to another in the midst of the sea.
The sky is a clock if you can read the marks the shadow of a sundial leaves.
It is a calendar if you figure out the phases of the moon and the longest and shortest days of the year in the solar cycle.
The sky is a global positioning device if you know how to calculate your position by a star to determine latitude and longitude.
It is a historical timeline marker if you know the regular cycle of eclipse in a meteor shower and can find accounts of these in historical records.
The sky, like the rest of the creation, is an evidence of its maker's existence.
The scene on the stage before us is changing again. We hear the voices of the Creator speaking again. Day five has begun.
And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day.
God speaks, and the sea swarms with living things.
Flying fish dart from the tops of the surface to fling themselves into the air above.
From perch to porpoise.
From conch shells to clinging oysters clutching their pearls.
The Creator spoke them all into being.
In the air over land and seas are birds of every kind.
Peacocks and parrots.
Ostriches and owls.
Geese and gulls.
Pelicans and pigeons.
Each sings its own song, builds its own nest, and finds its own food.
The stage before us darkens as the fifth day ends. Day six is about to begin. Sky and seas are filled with life, but on the earth, nothing is moving.
And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
There were long-necked giraffes with 2-foot-long purple tongues licking leaves from the high branches.
There were humpy-backed camels, broad-antlered moose, and bellowing bull alligators.
Male and female, the Creator made them all with the power to bear their own young and continue their kind.
The God of the Bible spoke, and it was done.
He commanded, and it happened.
No creature feared another. There was no harm, no pain, and no sorrow anywhere. This was the Maker's brave new world in its golden age, before death was known.
Our drama has been building day by day to its climax. Each day has been more wonderful than the one before. Now, there is a pause before the final scene. What will God do next?
The Creator has spoken all things into existence over the 6 days of creation, except one. God's crowning act is the most personal of all. What he makes and how is different than all that has come before.
Watch closely as the final scene unfolds. Hear the voice we have heard as it becomes a form we can see.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground."
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
The Creator God has made all things.
But only man was made in his own image and after his own likeness.
The Creator God spoke all things into existence.
But to man, he spoke directly.
The Creator God saw that everything was good.
But man alone he blessed.
The Maker.
And his man.
The one to make them all.
And the other to rule them all.
Creation king and queen are given the charge of leadership over all their Maker has made.
What will keep this brave new world going?
Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give you every green plant for food," and it was so.
This brave new world is a world without death, spoken into existence in 6 24-hour days and sustained by eating things that grow from the ground. Man's diet includes seed-bearing plants like grains and nuts, and also fruit with seed in it.
For the lower animals, he provided the green plants as well, grass to graze, vegetable to munch, and leaves to nibble.
Nobody eats anybody, not even the animals. It's not necessary. Nothing kills anything. It's not necessary, even for food. Animals eat what plants produce. Is it possible?
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
The creation countdown is nearly over. Only one day remains. As morning dawns on the brave new world before us for the seventh time, we see the same tall, white, bearded, robed figure with the shepherd's staff and the scroll walking from the side of the stage. As Moses arrives mid-stage, he rests his staff on the floor, unrolls the same scroll as before, and looks up to read.
Thus the heavens were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Then Moses rolls up the scroll, lays down his staff, kneels down, bows his head before God, and lifts both hands in praise and worship. The Creator has rested from his work of creation. The seventh day has come. It's time to celebrate.
The great artist looks on all he had made. It is very good. There is just one thing left to do. In setting aside the seventh day in the cycle, the Creator signs his creation as an artist would sign his painting. His signature is in blessing and making holy that final seventh evening and morning upon which he rested. The seventh day completes his creation.
All other cycles of time would be connected with the movements of the sun, moon, and stars, but the seventh day was different. It served as a week-by-week reminder that God exists.
To remember the Creator's seventh day is to remember he who blessed it and made it holy and rested on it.
The original brave new world is finished. We have seen it as the Creator himself says it actually happened when Moses first listened and wrote the scroll of Genesis. If we want to know what happened, we should ask someone who was actually there, not someone who came along afterward and just guessed. The God of the Bible says he was there, and this is the true account of the creation of our heavens, the earth, and our human ancestors.
The Bible says God made us and the world we live in, and that what he had made was very good.
Something has happened since that time, because this brave new world is no longer as it was at its creation. We are surrounded by many evils: disease, destruction caused by war, babies being deformed, the pain of suffering, and finally, death.
Where did all these evils come from?
Why do we struggle to do good, only to find ourselves doing just the opposite?
The Bible answered this question too. Be sure to be here Saturday night as Let Freedom Ring continues. Our topic would be Gettysburg Ghost and the War Behind All Wars.
Let's bow our heads in thankfulness to our Maker as we close this evening. Creator God, we thank you for making us in the world in which we live. We know every good and perfect gift comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We like to invite those who are here for the first time to come forward for just a few minutes before you leave this evening. Also, if you came for our last Saturday night, come again. We want to see how much you remember.
We've got a short teaching called the 5 C's of Christian Faith that will give you a brief overview of the basic teachings of the Bible. It includes creation, our subject this evening, along with other teachings. We think you'll enjoy learning...
We think you'll enjoy learning these and teaching them to someone else. So come on forward for just a minute before you go.
Thank you for coming to this presentation of Let Freedom Ring.
The 5 C's of Christian faith are 5 important Bible truths every Christian should know and be able to teach others. Each begins with the letter C.
Creation. God created the world in 6 days and rested the 7th day.
Conflict. There is conflict between good and evil that begins in heaven when Satan tried to take the place of his creator. It came to our world in Eden and is the ultimate cause of death, disease, war, and pain of all kinds. In the end, God will win.
Commandments. God's 10 rules of love for his children. When we keep them, all goes well. If we break them, we harm ourselves, others, and dishonor our Maker.
Cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and to purchase us a place in heaven. He offers us a free gift. We receive this gift by faith.
Coming. Jesus will soon return to planet Earth. He will come for those who accept his death for their sins and keep his commandments because they love him, to put an end to the conflict and create a new heaven and earth.
Before we have our dismissal tonight, we do have a few items that we want to give out. And so I would like to ask, do we have anyone from any family here with a birthday from January to March? Are any January to March birthdays here? Okay, I see 2 hands. All right, I need my helpers, Valentina and Christopher. Could you please come up and give one to each? Keep your hands up. We've got some Bible cards we're going to give. Okay, stay here because I need your help. January to March right now, and April to June. Any birthdays in April to June? A family, okay. There's one. You can take that. This one, Jonah. Jonah Bible cards. And July to September. Any families with birthdays from July to September? Okay. All right, we've got one over there. And we've got some airplanes. These airplanes are flying high. Fly with the Lord. Fly high with the Lord. All right. So, yes, okay. All right. And I'd like to know, how about October to December? Any birthdays from October to December? Okay. All right. I'll take that. Go hand that out. And anyone that has someone in the family that is 4 years old? Someone in the family that's 5 years old? Six? Seven? Okay. All right. Give that seven. Everybody who's 7 years old. How many seven-year-olds are here? Okay. Go ahead. Raise your hand. 8 years old. 9 years old? Anybody 10 years old? Okay. All right. Please hand those out. 10. Okay. 11? 11 years old? Okay. You can keep that. Sorry. 11? Okay. All right. Did everybody get one? Okay. Please, there's a hand up there. Okay. Good. And Kaylee will bring us our dismissal.
We wish to thank you for coming to our program tonight. Don't forget there is another program next week with the messages, Gettysburg's Ghost, and the War Behind All Wars. Come next Saturday night at 6 p.m. Now, we will invite you to join us downstairs for some refreshments.